You're listening to Feed, Play, Love, a podcast that's all about supporting parents as they bring up children. We've got experts and advice to help you through the more challenging bits of parenting. I'm Siobhan Hunt. When you have a baby, many things change. If you've decided to be the stay-at-home parent, it may be the first time you've relied on your partner for financial support. Going from earning your own income to having to ask your partner for money can be really difficult, especially if the domestic work you do isn't seen as valuable as the work they do out of the home. Kaz Cook is the best-selling author of the 2020 edition of Up the Duff, a new anniversary edition of the original title. Hi, Kaz, how are you?
Hello, good to be here.
Have you seen this scenario before where, you know, one person stays home and then all of a sudden they're reliant on the other?
Absolutely, and you've put it really well. And sometimes it flips, because sometimes the person who's been at home then goes back to work and the other person stays home for a while, or everyone tries to keep all the beach balls in the air and does a bit of both, and both partners might be going part-time. But I think it's really important to talk about these things, if you can, when you're pregnant, to try and sort them out. So is the wage, that if you're going to one wage, is it going to be our money? Or is the person who's actually earning it being paid for their work? Are they still going to think of it as their money? And are they, or does it come into a joint bank account? It's really good to work out if you're on the same page about a whole lot of stuff. That's why I've got lists in Up the Duff about, but, and sometimes, of course, you know, people are 4 months into a pregnancy before they know, and they're a bit behind the eight ball about having these discussions. And sometimes it can be really surprising to find out what your partner thinks, because it's also about, as you say, you know, the domestic labour, the emotional labour of being in a couple. You know, who buys the Christmas presents for the relatives? It can be even down to that. But, you know, does the person who's getting paid for their work, do they never have to tidy up again? Because the poor person who's at home looking after the baby also, you know.
The answer to that is no.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you, but I'm not going to matter if you're in a relationship with someone who disagrees. That's going to
exactly.
be hard.
And it is often how people, sometimes people just assume they're going to parent the way they were parented, right?
Or the opposite, maybe.
Yes, like, or the opposite. That's right. But if you, that idea that you might be surprised what your partner thinks.
Yeah.
That is a real eye-opener, isn't it?
I just heard one the other day about a dad who gave a fairly new baby, I mean a new human, gave them some painkiller for teething. And the mum was furious and, you know, felt violated that she hadn't been asked. And I get that, because, you know, if you've seen everything go into your baby's mouth and you know exactly what it is. But, you know, that's something to talk about. You know, you should always tell the other partner if you're going, you know, if you're planning to, or particularly if it's the first time. But that's the kind of thing. And then imagine how much bigger that gets if it's about vaccination. You know, imagine finding out that you're 6 months pregnant and your partner has the opposite view. So there's a whole lot of conversations that I encourage people to have.
Yeah, you don't want to have them
when they're
6 months
pregnant. But I think the chores one is really big. And I think, you know, what are we doing with our money? Where does it go? What do we call it? I think, though, because, you know, I've also heard, and this applies to whether you're really struggling or whether you've got a little bit extra, because sometimes I've also heard of, I don't know what you think of this, I know what I think of this, male partners who say that if they're going to get a cleaner once children arrive, then that should come out of the woman's wage. I think I just worked out how you feel about that.
Exactly.
But yeah, exactly. That and even who's going to babysit? You know, where would we? Which relatives would we leave kids with? How do we deal with troubling relatives who are? Tend to be busybodies, because that advice is probably going to start before the baby arrives.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the whole, whatever somebody's opinion is about breastfeeding, food, whether someone's got an allergy, whether allergies exist. And there are apparently some in-laws who don't respect, you know, that a kid has an allergy because they don't believe, you know, there are just all sorts of issues that it's really important to, I think that phrase being on the same page. And even if you can't quite get on the same page about everything, that you kind of respect the other person. I mean, social media is important too. A lot of people don't want photos of their kids on social media. So that means you can't put photos of their kids on social media. But what if the mum wants to do that and the dad doesn't?
Yeah.
You know, there are these negotiations. And I think quite often the person who says no should probably prevail. But not when it comes to vaccinations. So it is, it's tricky, isn't it?
Yeah. So you're saying in your book you have sort of lists of what people can, what they can be talking about or what they should be talking about.
Just maybe things that haven't occurred to them yet.
Yeah.
About that they might be facing. I think a lot of women don't think about what it will mean to not have money that can call their own.
Yeah.
And I think, people will have their own ideas. Do they want an account under their own name? Are they happy for all the money to go into a joint account under both names? You know, these are significant things. What's going to happen to your credit rating if accounts aren't in your name?
Yeah.
You know, what if you just have a credit card on somebody else's credit card? These are sort of important things.
And with the what I find interesting about that, I mean, especially with the finances, my youngest is now 5 and we've only just sorted out how we view this. Right.
Yeah. I think often it happens by default.
Yeah.
And sometimes even who's going to take the pregnancy leave happens by default.
Yes.
And there's not even a conversation who's earning more, who wants to stay at home more, who has a stronger feeling about that. You know, there's...
We didn't know. We fell into everything, I've got to say.
Yeah.
And it makes perfect sense to me, particularly with the finances, that is something that would be best spoken about previous to having kids.
And even if you can't, then don't kind of let that moment pass you by because you haven't had it yet. And, oh, well, you might as, you know, have that conversation. What are you saving for? Or are you just getting by? And if you are, then how are you budgeting and who's, you know?
And how are you going
to... Do you have a right to know what your partner spends? You know, what is called in the trade discretionary items, you know. I mean, it's sort of about privacy too, isn't it?
Yeah, and respect and trust and all of those things. So the money thing seems, in a way, it's something I probably could have got my head around before I had the baby. What I wouldn't have got my head around was the amount of work a baby is.
Oh, yeah, I don't think even if somebody tells you, you know that experience where I've heard a lot of women say this, oh, why didn't they tell me it was going to be so hard? You just don't listen. You can't take it in before it happens to you, I don't think, unless you've lived very closely. You've lived with a parent who's, you know, a full-time carer.
Yeah. So how then do you kind of work out? Because you might say, for example, when you're talking about you have the conversation, who's going to stay home? And you feel, as many people probably do feel, very lucky to stay home with the baby. And therefore, at that point of saying, oh, fantastic, you're happy for me to stay home with the kid. Oh, well, I'll take care of all the domestic stuff.
Mm.
Because...
Well, that's one reason why I've got a list. I say to couples, make a list. Because sometimes that's not even agreed on. Like sometimes people look at a list and go, you'd clean the toilet every week? That will change when you have a toddler. But do you know what I mean?
Yes,
like sometimes
yes.
That's when you find out that your partner's kind of a little bit astonished that, you know.
That's what you do.
Yeah,
that's why you've got a clean toilet.
That's how often things are vacuumed or, you know, well, why should I start vacuuming now just because I don't care about the vacuuming? Like those are sort of big conversations to have. And I know that before I had a baby, I had no idea that you didn't have time to have a shower in the first few. It just didn't. Well, I didn't know anything.
No, but why would you think that it would be hard to have a shower?
Yeah, you just...
Why?
And until that happens, I can remember to my eternal shame saying to a gorgeous young woman, I don't know, 25 years ago, she was at home with a baby and she was also looking after another person's toddler to make a little bit of money on the side. And I said to her, what do you do all day? Do you watch TV?
Uh-huh.
Now, to her credit, that woman did not stab me to death with a the fork she was holding at the time. But I, well, that's how ignorant I was. And I remember thinking before I had my baby, oh, every 4 hours I'll feed the baby. Then I'm going to write something or, you know,
do a bit of work. have a nap.
But it's, and that's another thing that I suggest is, whoever's at home, whoever's in paid work, sometimes swap. That person who's going out to work all day, every day, and feeling that pressure of, you know, you've got to keep bringing home the money for us to live like this. And it's hard to live on one wage if that's what you're doing. But, you know, they need to know what it's like to be at home for, you know, a whole span of – so they've got to do a Saturday or a Sunday with the baby while the other person goes somewhere else completely. I know it's hard with if you're breastfeeding, but you know what I'm saying, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And because most women who are at home with babies know what it's like to be in full-time work, but very often the person in full-time work has never done the full-time childcare. So it's just – it's really important for that empathy to know what the other person's going
through. I
completely
agree, 100%. I think that's the only way you can get proper respect, to be honest.
And just to keep communicating and to understand, as you say, you know, to keep that respect when you are completely exhausted. And that's just if things are going well.
Yes.
You know, that's if there's not an unforeseen health problem or someone loses their job unexpectedly, or, you know, it can be a perfect storm too.
Yes.
As well.
Gosh, I'm glad my kids are older.
terrible? That is the good thing. They will get older.
They will get older.
This is the 20th anniversary of Up the Duff, which is how I know my kid's 21.
Well, the other thing I should say, people, it took me 5 years, but I got there.
Yeah. And, you know, where are we? As a confident parent? Or?
No, God, no. Just that we know what's happening with the money.
Oh, I see. You know what's happening with the money. Yeah.
Yeah. We've still got to work on the domestic chores.
Yeah. But, well, that's lifelong, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Training.
And can I just ask, have you lowered your standards? I know
oh,
I
God,
have.
Yes.
Because you have to, don't you?
Like, yeah.
You know, if there's not active banana
yeah.
growing out of...
Can I say I lowered my standards for the entire unit apart from my bedroom because I ended up kicking my husband out because he snores.
And you needed some
room.
Had order. Yeah.
Yeah. But now
my
son's bumblebee transformer has died in the corner of the room, and apparently that's where he is
resting
forever.
Place. Yeah.
So
but there's also a difference between, I think I also, and I hadn't before, but I now have a very clear philosophical, difference between clean and tidy.
Oh, God, yes.
So,
yes.
You know, and I'm a bit like you. I'm now back to tidy because my kid's 21 and off at uni. But,
yeah.
I just, as long as there was no health hazard, there were times when the disorder. But, you know, I also get the dream of, you know, the Marie Kondo. Does my child spark joy? All right, I'll keep them.
Yes. But it's interesting, the thing about the tidy house, because I've spoken to people. I know Annabelle Crabb was always fond of saying, just let the housework go. And I appreciate that if you're the kind of person that it doesn't irritate.
Make anxious.
Yes.
Yeah,
and,
no,
and
I get
you. And that kind of mess. Where my child, both of my kids, their toys.
Well, if you can't find the toddler.
Yeah, that's very... How can you parent? Yeah, where's exactly. my child? There's just rubbish here.
But I think, you know, I mean, you know, I wrote the book Babies and Toddlers about what happens, you know, when the babies arrive. But you know, having been updating Up the Duff for 20 years, it's, I think people have more of a philosophy about how they want their home and how they want to parent, i.e. strict, hippie, you know, to label, just to generally do it quickly in shorthand. But far less of a philosophy about pregnancy or about getting ready to be a parent. Like we don't do getting ready to be a parent very well, even though we have 9 months, you know. And so, and we don't, because we don't live in a village or tribal atmosphere, most of us, we don't really know what it's like to be pregnant and having a baby in the house. So the shocks kind of keep coming, and you're incredibly busy. And I totally get you saying, because you know, there are certainly things that you just go on day to day, don't you?
Yeah. And I was, when I was pregnant, what I was concentrating on was my app telling me how big the baby was and being careful about what I was eating and exercising, all those sorts of things. But it never occurred to me to have a conversation about money.
Or chores.
Or chores.
Yeah.
Or parenting styles.
Yeah.
Which would have really helped us at the phase of trying to get my daughter to sleep through the night.
Yeah, right.
But we would have agreed, but we just didn't even talk about it.
Yes.
And so we went into some certain challenges.
So not only did you not know if you were on the same page, you didn't know what the page was.
No.
Yeah.
And so we that meant that we would look for help and take the wrong advice because we hadn't reminded ourselves.
There's so much advice. That's the other thing. Like when I first wrote this book 20 years ago, people didn't know anything. Now they're completely snowed under by this, you know, if most of it misinformation or commercials trying to sell you stuff or people who want to be validated for their beliefs, you know, and that it's really hard to sort out. That's one of the reasons why in the book I went, okay, what are the reliable websites that aren't trying to sell you something? What are the websites that are, you know, not pressure groups but are independent, and what are the premier sort of research? Because I just think parents are getting this stuff chucked at them all the time now. I think it's really different, and this the image that we're getting on Instagram of, you know, people in crop tops brandishing a mango at us and giving us nutritional advice without any qualifications. Like, really? So I just kind of wanted to do the opposite of that and go and, you know, talk to the specialist dietitians and,
yeah, and get the facts.
Yeah.
We'll be back with Kaz right after this.
When you become a parent, you enter an exclusive club, one that only other parents can truly understand.
I spent a lot of time running and yelling names. Come back, get back here.
But I bought him one of those backpacks that had a lead, like, you know, a monkey one.
Because it doesn't look as bad.
Yeah, like a disguise.
The Parent Panel is a weekly podcast that invites adults to ponder the big questions of looking after small children, with more than a bit of humour mixed in. Join us for The Parent Panel, wherever you get your podcasts.
When we're talking about these things, like you say you're pregnant and you're listening and you think, okay, sounds like a good idea to have these conversations before the baby comes. I know that I could be cooking dinner and I've been thinking all day about the things I need to talk to my husband about that would improve our relationship and make family life much more enjoyable. And then I sit there and go, now's not the time, and maybe
end of the day and everyone's tired.
And maybe not five things, maybe give him one at a time.
Yeah, yeah.
So how can we approach these things in a way that's not going to completely freak our partner out? Am I just projecting my own?
You want me to be magic now?
Yeah.
No, I get what you're saying, and I also think I think women think about this stuff on average more than men, and I don't think that's necessarily a biological thing that we're born with. I think you know, women are kind of trained to be the ones who organise and plan, and very often, and it's not always, but very often it is the woman in the relationship. And it really means that being lesbian parents is probably the ideal. You've got two organisers. But I think you're right. I think it's about picking your time. But I think it's also about presenting it not as I'm telling you something, but I really want to know what you think about this. Mm. I'm just wondering if we're on the same page. You know, what do you reckon? I think it's about tone.
Yeah. God, I got to work on tone.
Oh, I have no tone in many ways. But I wonder if it isn't just, hey, I've got this book up the duff. Here's a list of stuff that we should probably find out about.
Yeah.
Whether we sort of think the same.
Yeah. I think that having a list must be so helpful for people. Because, like I said, how can you predict what it will be?
And also, I think there are who's already paying the bills in the house if you're already living together? And most people are before they have a baby, I think. You know, when you're paying the bills, or like, who does that now? And maybe you say, hey, you know, like, is it going to, do you think it should be the person who's at home who's doing the finances, or do you want to do them? Or should we have a budget? What do you reckon? Should we have a budget? You know, here are the things that, because it can be very expensive mostly before the baby's there to get that big equipment stuff. And also in the book, of course, it's about the balance between paying enough for a good product, pram, cot, whatever, not getting ripped off and buying something just for the fancy schmancy brand, but also being aware of where you can find out whether things are safe, because not a single travel cot passed the safety tests that were done by Choice a year ago.
Did they also do an ease of assemblage test with travel cots?
You get five Allen key. It's the five Allen key, like the five star treatment. But isn't that incredible? Mm. So I think we often assume that we have to pay big money for something, and we often assume that if it's on sale, it has to be safe. You know, so there's a few different. It's also, I think, sometimes a lot of male partners feel that there's nothing they can do when their partner's pregnant. There's nothing they can do to help, but they can. They can help with researching not just equipment, but how are we going to arrange the finances? And yeah, of course you should have an account in your own name, or of course we only need a joint account, whatever suits both of you and isn't imposed by one. You know, it's good practice, isn't it, to start, you know, having conversations about important things.
Yeah, and money is one of those things.
Yeah, because the conversation's never going to be, we have so much of this money stuff. I just, well.
Yeah, who cares?
How many yachts should we have, darling?
I know you can't tell what I spend because we've got so much money. So let's say we're living in the perfect world, which of course we're not.
Mm.
But let's aim for the stars. Yeah. You might get the chimney pots. Regardless of where you're at, whether you've got a new baby or you're pregnant or you've even got a toddler and you're listening and you're thinking, oh yeah, this situation is not working out. Maybe they've even had the conversation, but then reality hit and they've gone, I don't quite agree with what we first said. Things have changed. What would be the ideal scenario for a kind of healthy, shared financial domestic family life? Like,
I think it really depends on what suits both people, and the only way to know that someone isn't seething with resentment underneath one way or the other is to keep talking. And it sounds simple, but it's actually not, because you do end up falling on the couch in front of the TV, you do end up in any spare moment going to the park with the kids. You know, it's hard to have harder conversations. It's really hard if you're not agreeing on how something should be, or it's even if you are in it together, but times are tough. And I would say, don't let it become corrosive either against each other or against you both as a couple, because you know, I've put, as I always do in the book, there are more info sections about where to go for more help. There are great websites with all of this stuff. And if it gets a little bit heated, you can always say, well, it's on this government financial website, sets out a budget or has this, you know, like, rather than go to a commercial source or fall for advertising or a product or an investment thing that someone's trying to sell you, go to some really reputable source that's there to help people. And I've recommended a couple of those. Don't be afraid to outsource and go and see a financial counsellor or something like that, just to help you both through.
Kaz, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
That's Kaz Cook. She's a best-selling author of Up the Duff, The Real Guide to Pregnancy. It has its new 2020 edition. Oh my goodness, in 2019. That is crazy. And as Kaz touched on in that interview, everything in the book has been really well researched. It's factual. It's not pushing you one way or another. And we'll pop links in the notes of this episode to where you can get a copy. Feed, Play, Love is a Babyology podcast produced by Debbie Ning and presented by me, Siobhan Hunt. We'd love to hear from you, so if you'd like to get in touch, email us at feedplaylove@theparentbrand.com.au. See you next time.